If you have your Bibles, we're going to take our text out of Job. Job chapter number 2. I'm going to read the opening 10 verses of the second chapter of Job. The Bible says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your kindness. Lord, I thank you for your holiness, your purity, and who you are, Lord. God, I thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive, Lord, to what you have to say to us. God, help me to handle your word with integrity and with accuracy this morning. God, help your word to go forth in power and in truth, God, and begin to change people's lives, Lord. Transform our minds. God, help us to be more of what you'd have us to be. I pray that above all else, the Son of God would be magnified. Lord, our focus and our hearts would be set upon him above all other things. And Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for first loving us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. I don't remember exactly where I heard that phrase, and I quoted it. It's not original to me, but what wisdom is found within that phrase? Because of God's goodness, many people get this false notion that no bad thing will ever happen to them. They get this idea that nothing that ever is contrary to their lives will ever take place. And when they face their first adversity, they become absolutely shaken in their life. Their peace, their confidence, their joy, and even their theology. Because most of the time, the very next question once adversity hits our life is, why? We immediately begin to doubt the goodness of God because something unfavorable has happened in our life. But a fresh look at the Scriptures will quickly remind us that God is much more interested in purifying us than he is in pleasing us. God's main priority is not to make sure that you never shed a tear of pain, and God's main priority is not to make sure that nothing ever happens to you that steals your smile. That's not God's primary focus and primary function in our life. God's main concern is to make us more like his precious Son, to make us more holy and less like we were before we met him. And the truth of the Scriptures is that God uses trials to do this. If you step forward from the book of Job into the first epistle that Peter wrote, he explains in doctrinal truth and doctrinal concepts what Job experiences in practical experience. Peter began to write, he said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice," in 1 Peter 1:6-7, speaking of the lively hope that we have in Christ. He says, "Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Peter wants us to think about our faith through the illustration that gold provides. For them, gold would be put into a crucible, and it would be heated up, and then the impurities of that gold would rise to the top of that crucible, and then somebody would scrape it off the top, and then that gold was more valuable, that gold was more precious, that gold was more pure than it was before that process. And Peter says gold goes through that and it's perishable. It's all going to tarnish one day anyway. But our faith is much more precious to God than gold ever could be. And God is not going to allow God in his goodness will not allow your faith to exist in a subpar level, but God will begin to work in your life to grow you, to mature you, to make your faith more precious and more pure in His sight, not for your glory, not for your sake, not so that other people look at you and think, man, they've really done something, but know that when He returns, we are found under the praise and honor and glory of His precious name. That's how God is at work in our life, and that's the way that God uses trials to purify us. God doesn't send trials into our life to break us, but to purify us. And Job, as I mentioned, is experiencing this firsthand. And Job, as chapter number one is all about, Job's already been tested once. And Job passed that test. But his pain's not over. His testing is not over. He's about to experience his second test. But the response of Job is beyond challenging. Job, the truth of Job teaches us that you and I are to worship God in the midst of our trials. Amen. That how we respond to adversity matters. Job reminds us that when you're hurting, when darkness has befallen your life, it's no time to give up. It's really when your faith is needed the most. It's not the time for your faith to fall out and collapse. It's when your faith needs to shine through the clearest. Amen. Adversity should not be a faith our time wanes, our faith wanes, and for Job it wasn't. The Bible says, I'm challenged with all this, and then verse number 10, and think about all that's contained in those words, and all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Let's look at the text this morning and try to learn how to go through hardship in a way that pleases God. And one thing that I've noticed about Job is that Job held fast to his integrity. The Bible paints the scene for us in verse number 1 that there's the God is there, the sons of God, which refers to angels, comes. They come before Him, and even Satan comes before the Lord. And the Lord asked Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from coming to and going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And when I read that, I think of 1 Peter 5, which says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know this morning, Satan is a very real enemy. And Satan is not a friendly individual. Satan is out to destroy. He's looking for those he can destroy, to deceive. The Bible pictures that of him as a lion. And you and I, therefore, have to be sober. We have to be on guard so that we don't become his prey. And then the Lord, though he even directs his attention, Satan's attention to Job, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Now listen to his description of who Job is. He says, as thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And the word escheweth means he literally separates himself from it. But notice again, it says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. And as I mentioned with the words and all this, think about again all this contained in those words, and still. All that Job had been through, all of his testings, everything he had, if you read chapter 1, everything he had of value was taken from him. And Job's initial response was this in verse number 21, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan's attack, Satan's approach was he wanted to destroy Job. He wanted to destroy his testimony, because with that he robbed God of his glory that he received through the life of Job. And Job, instead of pointing his finger up in the face of God, looked up and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Job was the same during his adversity as he was during the times of blessing. Job's and not his faith did not come and go with the seasons. And Satan tried his best to bring Job's faith to the point of collapse, but Job worshipped in spite of it all. And our Christian character this morning, our faith being lived out, should not just be something that people see when everything is going good in our life, when things are going the way we want them to. That's not the only time that people should see your faith at work in your life. And if everything in your life began to be taken from you that you count as good, everything. I mean, Job lost his family, his animals, which in that day would have been of incredible value, his home. He lost everything. And even at that, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. If the Lord began to take away everything out of your life, how would that affect your conduct? Would your heart begin to turn bitter toward God? Would your pride begin to swell up in you as you think, God's not treating me as good as I deserve? Job didn't let his heart turn against God, and you and I cannot either. The thing about Job, this text has lived in my heart, Job's trials revealed a genuineness about his faith. And trials, I've learned trials have a way of doing that. Trials will quickly reveal whether we truly have a heart for God or whether we've been putting on a show. When all the fluff of life gets taken away, do we still seek to live in a way that pleases God? Will we still seek to honor God in how we conduct and carry ourselves? We must if we want to make it through our trials without sinning this morning. But also, as you look at verses 4 through 8, Job, you have to consider the bigger picture. And Satan answered the Lord after the Lord directs his attention on Job. And Satan again had already tested Job once, but he said, skin for skin, yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Seems to be implying that, yeah, Job may not have cursed you after I took all that away, but nobody would. As long as you continue to give him his life, he's not going to. Job again is attacking the faith of Job. It's not real. It's going to collapse. It's going to crumble. And Satan says, if you put forth your hand on his life, he'll curse you to your face. And God gives him permission. It's encouraging to know Satan has no authority, no power over our lives, but all comes through the hand of our loving Savior. Amen. It says, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I think you and I need to be aware of the fact that we suffer from a limited viewpoint just like Job did. When all this was taking place, from what I can tell, Job had no idea that this was going on behind the scenes. There was a lot happening that Job may or may not, likely was not aware of. And oftentimes in your life, when there's trials, when there's adversity, you're not going to be able to see what the bigger picture is, but I want you to know there's a bigger picture behind what's going on. What Job was dealing with in these verses is a lot more than just he was hurting. It was a lot more than just he was experiencing pain. It was an attack of Satan to rob God of his glory and to steal Job of his testimony. Amen. Satan literally wanted to bring out the worst in Job while God wanted to bring out the best. And you and I must not be content this morning to give Satan any victory as we go through our trials. Think about the thrill of Satan's heart if Job would have pointed his finger up in the face of God as Satan said he would. And if Job would have done that and cursed God and said, I deserve better than this. I've tried to live right. I've tried to raise my family right. And if Job would have done that, amen, think about the victory Satan just received. He's over in the corner somewhere smiling, pleased with what had just taken place. But as Job didn't do that, as Job worshipped in chapter number 1, and then in this chapter he corrects his wife who has this false notion and knows that God can bring good or permit evil. Think about how deflating that must have been to Satan. As Satan said, I assure you, God, if you do this, he'll point his finger at you and he'll curse you to your face. Yes, yeah. For you to be unfaithful is not just for you to let your preacher down. It's not just for you to let your family down. An even bigger thing is happening. You're giving Satan the victory. It's to rob God of the glory that he alone is worthy. A very real spiritual battle was taking place here in the life of Job. Satan is a destroyer and a deceiver, and he will often, he loves nothing more than to turn your heart from God, and he'll often use pain to do this. And rather than cursing God to his face, Job's response, likely different from all of ours in verse number 8, as he took him a potsherd, a piece of broken pottery, to scrape himself with when he sat down among the ashes. Rather than cursing God, rather than turning his heart against God, Job and all his boils, he found a piece of broken pottery, went and sat down in ashes, which I read, and that's just a symbol of his sorrow. Took this piece of broken pottery, and some of the commentaries I read said he probably was scraping himself to try to bust those boils to release the pain. I mean, just picture the awful picture of Job. All this pain, but instead of cursing God, that's him just sitting there scraping his skin. And what has planted itself in my heart about Job that I want to trust that God will plant in your heart is that what What Job demonstrated is that he adored God for who God is. Job understood what true worship is. Job, everything he had, every material blessing he had was taken away, and none of that mattered because he didn't serve God. He didn't worship God for what God could give him. He served God and he worshiped God because he just loved God. He loved the person of God. He loved his purity. He recognized his royalty. He recognized his purity. He loved God for his person, for who he is. And that's true worship this morning. And everything in your life goes away, would you still be interested to teach a Sunday school class? Would you still be interested to read your Bible? Would you still be interested to pray? If not, then our worship is not as true and not as pure as it should be this morning. True worship would be responding to these trials the same way that Job did. When it comes to the bigger picture of your trials, ask yourself this question: can God trust you with a trial? When Satan came to God and asked, he said, skin for skin, yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. He says, but if you put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, he will curse thee to thy face. I've took note of God's response. God said, God gave him permission. God said, behold, it's in thine hand, but save his life. God permitted him to go. He just couldn't take his life. And so I think it's fair to say that God trusted Job with a trial. To help you see this from my perspective, if Satan was to come to God and say, I'm going to go afflict Bradley's life in some way, shape, or form. And if I do, he will quit preaching. He'll close his Bible. He'll be done. He'll give up his church. He'll resign that position. He'll quit trying to be a husband that Christ would have him to be. He'll drop the act. It'll all be gone. And I wonder if God would respond and say something like, you're probably right, so I'm not going to permit you to go and bring pain to his life. Can God trust me with a trial? Can God trust me that if pain comes to my life, that sorrow is going to come to my life, can God trust me that I'll handle it in a way that honors him? Can God trust you with a trial? And lastly, this morning, I want you to recognize the sovereignty of God. That's what you have to recognize as you go through pain. Even Job's wife comes before him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Imagine that. And quickly say, don't be a voice that encourages somebody to curse God and die. When somebody's going through pain and sorrow, be somebody that lifts them up, somebody that gets around them. Don't be a voice like Job's wife. But Job's response to her again, when she's encouraging him to curse God, to let his faith crumble, he says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Job recognized that God was in control of his life. God's the potter and we're the clay. And we must bow ourselves to his sovereignty and his rule over our lives. God will bring good, and I love God. The text talked about God can bring good, and you stop and think for any length of time about all the good that God brings in our life, and it'll overwhelm you. But there will be times God will permit evil, and you and I must understand that he knows best. He can bring out a beautiful picture out of our pain. And you and I must bow ourselves to his rule and his sovereignty over our lives and trust that he knows much better than we do. Job chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says this: take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. I just encourage you this morning to lean on God's grace to make you faithful, to make you and have the patience that Job did, that you might come out on the other trial serving God and worshiping him.